Well, good morning, everybody. Last week, you may remember, I went to Ohio on Saturday and visited my nieces and nephews. There's five of them. And we were driving back from lunch, and we followed this pickup truck, and there were a whole bunch of geese in the back of this pickup truck. And my nieces and nephews, the oldest of whom is 7 years old, there's five of them, and the oldest one, seven, Adam, he started talking about geese, and he got really excited about geese, and I suggested to my brother that maybe he buy them a pet goose. And my brother did not like that idea. But then there was a revolt in the back rows of the van when my brother told them that he would not get them a goose. And so then they were begging me the next time I come to visit them to bring a goose. I don't know. But anyway, all that goose stuff got me thinking about the early church. They used to call the Holy Spirit a goose. And they called the Christian life, at least in parts of the church in the early days, a great goose chase. You know that phrase, a wild goose chase? Well, it comes from that. Because the idea was that you and I, as Christians, are in some ways on a wild goose chase, following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes in all kinds of odd places that we never expected in our lives. Doors open that we never expected. And some doors close that we were sure were supposed to be our doors. But the Holy Spirit goes all around. I was at Oldenburg Academy the other day with the seniors, and it was the senior mass, and I was reflecting on the Acts of the Apostles and how, like, it's graduation time, you know? And a lot of times when we graduate, we think of it as like a slingshot. I know where my destiny is, and I'm launched today, boom. But the reality of life, Christian life, is that the Holy Spirit pings us around an awful lot. You know, it takes us on all kinds of interesting detours in the course of our lives. We heard a bit about that in our first read, the Acts of the Apostles, and how Paul and Barnabas are kind of going all over the place. Yesterday was a very interesting reading because Paul and Timothy were on their way to Asia. That's where they were going. But the Holy Spirit prevented them from going there and sent them to Troas instead. Then they tried to go to some other place that starts with the letter B that I can never pronounce. And the Holy Spirit stopped them from going there and sent them to Pamphylia instead. The Holy Spirit has this way, and we follow the Spirit. Right? And sometimes there's a lot more pinging around than we ever got bargained for. Life doesn't always work out as we expected it to, you know? But we follow the Spirit. And wherever this Holy Spirit goes, we follow. And it is something of a wild goose chase. But I got to thinking about these Acts of the Apostles, which I've been mesmerized with this whole Easter season, because we hear about these folks in the early church who went everywhere with the gospel, who took Jesus and his message and filled the whole world with it. And they were on a wild goose chase. Paul and Barnabas, they expected to go set up a church in Asia and call it a day and be done and just die there. They ended up going to 20 or 30 different cities. It was different than what they expected. But why did they do all that? You know, in our first reading today, we heard that it wasn't always easy. There were divisions, there was strife, there were problems. As they did it, what possessed them to do it? Everybody, open your books to page 115. I want to show you something cool. Page 115 of the first part of the hymnal. And what you'll find here is that the Nicene Creed on the left and the Apostles' Creed on the right. Now, everybody see where it says that Jesus was crucified or was conceived by the Holy Spirit, comma, born of the Virgin Mary, comma, suffered under Pontius Pilate, blah, 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 blah. After Mary is a comma, we call that the great comma, because that singular comma encompasses all of the teachings of Jesus. Everything that he did, every healing, every miracle, every teaching, every sermon is in that singular comma. And that's what possessed those people to follow the goose wherever the goose went. You know, that's what possessed our ancestors in the faith to go everywhere with the message of Jesus and to build incredible things. Look at this church built by our ancestors, huh? What possessed them? What possessed Father Vincent Backlund, who's buried in this cemetery right over here, to come over from France and set up a church here and then set up a whole bunch of other churches here in the middle of Indiana? That comma. That's what possessed them. And folks, that comma had better convict us of a bunch of the same stuff. That we need to spread this message wherever we can possibly take it. So I think that's one reason that what that comma contains, that's why we do what we do as Christians. Plus, Jesus gives us the great commandment, the great commission, to go and make disciples of all nations for the sake of what's in that comma, right? But like, Jesus doesn't, most people think it's the great suggestion, not the great commandment. Because most people think that that's Father's job, that's sister's job, to fill the church. It is our job, but it's also yours. It's everybody's job to fill the church. It's everybody's job to earn, to win disciples for Jesus. Just like the folks in our first reading today. Just like all of the saints. It's our job to bring people to Jesus. It is the great commandment, the great commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. Don't leave it to the priest or to the sister or to the deacon. It's our job. Why? Because Sister Joan and I can't be everywhere. You know, I'm not a construction worker, but we have parishioners who are. I don't have anything to do at Shelbyville High School, but some of our parishioners do. I don't work in a restaurant. Some of us do. We all have a place in life. We all have a sphere of influence that we can use to win people for Jesus. I want you all to think about one inactive Catholic that you know. Think about somebody who you know is Catholic but doesn't bother to come to church anymore. That's your job. Win them back. Got it? Win them back. Do whatever you got to do. And how do you do it? Our first reading tells us by word of mouth. It's not enough just to give a nice example of love. That is great. Do that. And if we don't do that, then anything we say about Jesus is rendered useless and without any value. But we got to put words to our faith to talk about what happened at Mass, our hearts were moved when we went to confession, or what happened when we received Holy Communion, or the peace that we felt in the community of faith. Like, to talk about those things, to testify. That's how Paul and Barnabas and Philip and Bartholomew and all these other people, that's how they won everybody over, by witnessing to what God had done in their life. They listened to the great commandment of Jesus to go make disciples of all nations, and they didn't leave it to somebody else to do it. They did it. And we owe our faith to them, to our ancestors all the way back. And I suppose that one other thing that kept them going, or that spurred them to do all that they did, was the great vision of heaven that we heard about in our second reading. You know, most people don't think about heaven enough anymore, I don't think. We just assume that everybody goes there, that it's like a beach or whatever. We don't think about heaven enough, because this life is awesome, but this ain't nothing compared to what awaits the faithful. And our job is to be among the faithful and to win others into that group of faithful. Father Matt Buting, when he was here giving the parish mission, I remember he used a beautiful image. He said, look, it's like this. God gives us all a bus. And our bus, we're supposed to drive along this life. We're supposed to fill it up with people and drive it to heaven. And then when we get to heaven, knock on the doors, Jesus is going to say, who'd you bring me? And you say, look at all these people in my bus. You know? Folks, that's what it's all about. The great commandment, the great commission to win, to make disciples of all the nations. That's our job. We do it for the sake of that comma. We do it following that goose, wherever that goose goes, the Holy Spirit. We just follow, we follow, we follow. And before we know it, my gosh, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much dawned on us what God has ready for those who love Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.